All I can say is, this guy is unstoppable. He was not intimidated by a single human being or situation. Nobody. I both admire Paul and am convicted by him every time I read anything by Paul. He was such a singular, unintimidated person. The religious leaders of Jerusalem did not intimidate him. The political rulers of Judea did not intimidate him. The intellectuals of Athens did not intimidate him. The Caesars in Rome did not intimidate him. He goes, I'm not ashamed of the gospel.
Sharing the gospel with others can feel intimidating and awkward. The Apostle Paul, however, only felt eagerness when sharing it with those he encountered. Today on Connect with Skip Hightech, Skip shares how you can overcome the fear of sharing your faith with others and encourages you to be a bold messenger just like Paul the Apostle. But first, we want to tell you about a resource that gives you real insight in the origins of marriage and the family.
The book of Genesis contains some of the most iconic Bible stories written. But did you know that there is deep spiritual significance in each of those familiar stories? In the creation story, we discover how much God loves his creation and how he considers humankind his crowning achievement. And in the story of the fall of man, the very first sin, we find God's plan to defeat sin once and for all. We want to help you uncover greater significance in the first book of the Bible by sending you Skip Hightech's book, You Can Understand the Book of Genesis. Get a fresh look and a deeper understanding of the familiar stories that form the very foundation of our faith. You Can Understand the Book of Genesis is our way of saying thanks for your generous gift of $35 or more today to help expand the Bible teaching outreach of Skip Hightech. So call now to get your copy of this insightful resource. 800-922-1888. You can also give online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer.
The Bible is full of God's promises to you. And since he's faithful, you can know that he will carry out those promises, and you don't have to fear. You can help share those promises found in Scripture with even more listeners like you by giving a gift today to keep these encouraging messages going out. Please call now to give, 800-922-1888. That's 800-922-1888. Or visit connectwithskip.com/donate. That's connectwithskip.com/donate. Thank you.
Now, as we join Skip Hightech for today's teaching, we're in Romans chapter 1.
When I first became a believer, I really wanted to share my faith with my friends. The only problem was my friends. They weren't all excited about me talking to them about my experience with God. And because I knew that to be true, I clammed up a bit. I was afraid. I thought that I could just display for them the message and that would be enough. So I had a bumper sticker on my truck. It was kind of a hippie bumper sticker. It said, "Give Jesus a chance," which doesn't really convey much of a message. It's like a chance to do what? And then I thought, well, I'll wear a t-shirt. So I had a tie-dyed t-shirt. And this was not retro tie-dyed. This was, you know, the real original era of tie-dye, and had the name, the real one, had the name Jesus on the front. So it was like tie-dye t-shirt, Jesus. So I thought, well, that'll get their attention. And, you know, they look at it and they go, it was either Jesus to them or, because I'm from Southern California, it was like, oh, they have my cousin's Jesus's name on the front, right? Chewy. So it didn't really do a whole lot in advancing the cause of the gospel. Or I thought, I'll just invite them to a concert, maybe not tell them what kind of a concert, just it's really cool music, you'll love it. But I don't have to really say much more than that. But I knew the time was coming when I actually had to open my mouth and share what I believed with people. So I distinctly remember the afternoon when I first tried this out. And I prayed that God would fill me with his spirit. And I just walked up to this coworker of mine who was the manager of the gas station where I worked. And I just started talking. And I was so petrified. I think I talk like this at first until I sort of got my bearings. And then I found that I had a little bit of boldness. It just started rising up. I must have thought that God would be mad at me if I didn't talk. Instead of seeing the gospel as a treasure, I saw it as a task. There's a great story about a famous violinist named Fritz Kreisler. He was Austrian. He would travel around and play his music. He was very renowned at the time. And in his travels in one city, he came across an exquisite violin. And he thought, I must have that violin. He couldn't afford it, so he didn't buy it. He left to raise the money to buy the violin. Once he raised the money, he went back to the town, found the man who owned the violin, offered to buy it. But the man delivered the sad news that he had already sold the violin to a collector. Fritz was undeterred, found the collector, offered to pay the money, and the collector said, I cannot part with what he called my most prized possession, the violin. Fritz Kreisler was disappointed, but as he turned to leave, he asked the collector, would you mind if I played the violin before it is consigned to eternal silence in your collection? Collector said, sure, what do I care? Have at it. So Kreisler took the violin, began to play such an inspiring song. The collector was so moved by what he heard, he said, I have no right to keep this to myself. It's yours. Take it into the world and let the people hear it. That's our message. We have such a treasure. We need to let the people hear it. It's not a task. It's a treasure. It's more than a duty. It's sheer delight. It certainly was to Paul. We are looking at two verses in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. I have entitled this message, Unashamed, and I am playing off the statement made by Paul in verse 16. But let me read this verse with you, but let me go back, if you don't mind, to verse 13. I always like to get the context. Let me just tell you that Paul is writing this letter. He has some opening remarks. He tells them, I've heard about your faith. I'm planning to come and see you. I've tried to in the past. I wasn't able to, but I'm going to get there. Verse 13, he writes, Now I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Boy, that's quite a statement. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's quite a statement because think of all that Paul had been through up to this point. He had been snuck over a wall at Damascus. He had been stoned and left for dead at Lystra. He had been beaten up, arrested, and put in jail in Philippi. He has been chased out of Thessalonica. He was laughed to scorn in Athens. He was nearly torn to pieces in Jerusalem, all because he preached the gospel. After all of that, he goes, I can't wait to come to Rome and do it again. And you read that and go, are you nuts? Why was that? Well, all I can say is, this guy is unstoppable. He was not intimidated by a single human being or situation. Nobody. I both admire Paul and am convicted by him every time I read anything by Paul. He was such a singular, unintimidated person. The religious leaders of Jerusalem did not intimidate him. The political rulers of Judea did not intimidate him. The intellectuals of Athens did not intimidate him. The Caesars in Rome did not intimidate him. He goes, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why is that? How could Paul be so eager to engage in the very exercise that got him jailed, beaten up, left for dead, scorned at over and over again? Why did he find such joy in it? I'm glad you asked that. I'm going to give you five reasons why Paul was not ashamed. He was not ashamed, first of all, because it's good news. Every time you read the word gospel, in your mind, say, that means good news. That's what gospel means, good news. He said, I'm not ashamed of the good news about Jesus Christ. I mean, why be ashamed about good news? Right? If it's good news, you're not ashamed of it. Let's say, God forbid, you had cancer. But it was successfully treated, so much so that you saw the doctor and he gave to you the good news that it was now in full remission. Or, if you lived in a country at war with another country and the war had decimated your population and fathers and sons were killed because of it, and then suddenly one day you heard the good news, the war is over. Or, let's say you had gone to the store a few weeks back, you had a little bit extra cash, and you just thought, I'll buy one lottery ticket. But then you heard the good news. Your number is the winning number. In any of those scenarios, do you go, I'm not going to tell anybody? Are you kidding? You're going to tell everybody it's in remission. You're going to tell everybody the war is over. You're going to tell everyone you won the lottery. If it's good news, you're not ashamed by it. Now, some people read what we just read and they think, well, just the very fact that Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, must have meant he may have been struggling with being ashamed or embarrassed of the gospel going to Rome. Why would that be? Well, let me give you a couple reasons. Think of going to Rome in the year 60 AD. This important city, its sheer size and glitz and pomp could be very intimidating. You look around and you think, nobody needs to hear what I have to say here. They've got it all together. There's not a need in the world that they have. First time I ever visited Rome many years ago, it was overwhelming to me. It's this major European capital. There's antiquity there, history, archaeology. You can see the Forum and the Colosseum. And besides that, there's so many tourists from all over the world. After all, this is Rome. Shopping is out of control. And the food is, you can't find a bad meal in that city. It's like it's illegal to have a bad meal. It was just sort of overwhelming. But 2,000 years ago, Rome was much more than just another cool European capital. It was the center of the universe. In Latin, it was called Caput Mundi, head of the world. Capital of the world, center of influence, the heart of civilization. It was in Rome that the Roman Senate would gather in the Forum and debate issues that would affect the world. People from all over the known world were interested on the news coming out of Rome because they knew it would affect them. So it would be easy to be intimidated by the sheer size and power of Rome. Here's another reason. Not everyone saw the good news as good news. In fact, most people back then, like today, think it's bad news. Let me tell you why back then. The gospel was identified with a poor Jewish carpenter who got crucified. Where's the good news in that? The Romans didn't like the Jews. The Romans conquered the Jews. The Romans occupied Judea. And they invented took crucifixion and imposed crucifixion on the very worst of criminals who were notorious against the Roman Empire. That's who got crucified. So why put your faith in a dead Jew who was crucified? Where's the good news in that? Rome had great religions, great philosophies, great philosophers. Who needs this? Who cares about this gospel? In fact, you may not know this, but the pagans in Rome referred to Christians by the word atheos, atheists. Isn't that interesting? You say, they called Christians atheists? Yeah, they called them atheists, not because they rejected God, but because they rejected their gods. See, Rome would be okay if you bring your Christian God into Rome and it's one of the many gods and goddesses of the Roman pantheon, great. But these Christians were so exclusive and myopic and only worshiped the God who sent his son to die on a cross for them and rejected all of their gods. Hence, they were given the name atheists. Something else, many in Rome called Christians cannibals. Because of a misunderstanding over the meaning of the Lord's Supper, its association with the body and blood of Christ. So, with those things in mind, you could see why somebody might be a little hesitant to preach the gospel in Rome. Truth be told, the gospel is unattractive and repulsive to a natural, unsaved person. It's not good news at all. And it's still the same way today. And it's unattractive and repulsive because it exposes man's sin. It speaks about their lost condition. And so it strikes a blow to human pride and human ego. And because it does that, people react to it adversely. They criticize it. They scorn it. They're angry with it. They show their contempt against it. They argue against it. And because they do, we Christians grow silent. We become embarrassed about our message, even though Paul says it's good news. And I think you'll agree that's probably the greatest roadblock to sharing our faith, to being verbal about our faith. We're afraid. It's fear. The Bible says the fear of man brings the snare. I wish that I were able to honestly say, along with Paul, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I agree with it. I read it and go, yeah, but to be really honest, there have been times where I've just been flat afraid of being rejected by people. I don't want to be called unintellectual. I don't want people to go, oh, and get through all that reaction. It's tough to do that. But it's such good news that if you can get a person just to hang with the message long enough to receive the Savior behind the message, they're going to live forever. They're going to be forgiven of their sins. They're going to have abundant life now, and they're going to have the promise of heaven forever. It's such good news in the long run. So Paul says, I'm not ashamed of good news. A second reason why Paul says I'm unashamed is because not only is it good news, but it's God's power. Verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the good news of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. Why be ashamed of power? Rome loved power. They boasted in power. They were conquerors. In fact, the Roman legions were considered the most powerful fighting force in the world at that time. They had the best training. They had the best weaponry, and they would enforce social order by military power. Rome loved power. In fact, Rome was so powerful that when Caesar Augustus got a whim, you know, I think I'm going to take a census of the world. Just making that statement caused whole populations to move. For people to leave where they lived and go register in their town of origin. That's why Joseph and Mary did what they did. Because of that order by one man who was so powerful. And when that census was given, it revealed something interesting. It revealed there were 55 million people who were the subjects of Rome. That's power. Rome loved power. It was said that when the Roman emperor got moody or angry or agitated, the kings and kingdoms trembled. It's like, Caesar's in a bad mood. Everybody got set on edge. But with all that power, there was something missing. With all that power to show, they were powerless to save. You couldn't change one soul for eternity with all that Roman power. They were strong militarily, they were weak morally. One of the philosophers of Rome named Seneca said, Rome is a cesspool of iniquity. And one of its most famous poets, Juvenalis, said, Rome is a filthy sewer into which the dregs of the empire flood. Well, no wonder then, Paul said, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed because I have the one message that can change people's lives. I have the one message that is the power of God to salvation. Rome might have its power, but they can't change the soul. The message that I bring can. I'm not ashamed of that. You got to keep in mind that Paul had a track record of seeing the gospel already change several cities that were considered wicked cities, like Corinth, Ephesus, Thessalonica, Antioch of Pisidia, on and on and on. He'd already seen it there. He's going, can't wait to let it loose in Rome. It's power. In fact, notice the way it is written. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power. Not it has the power. Not it's a story about power. It is power. It, in and of itself, is powerful enough to accomplish God's purpose in a fallen world polluted by sin. You see, the gospel was so powerful that it could change Saul of Tarsus, an enemy of Christianity, into Paul the Apostle. That's powerful. The gospel was so powerful it could take 3,000 people in a single day, the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem, and change their minds, change their thinking, and say yes to Jesus. It is so powerful that thousands responded during the first great awakening, and thousands more during the second great awakening, and thousands more during the Welsh revival, and thousands more during the Moravian revivals. And it moved 2.2 million people to get up out of their seats and walk down onto different fields throughout the ministry of Dr. Billy Graham, who preached the simple gospel. Over the years, I've seen the power of the gospel. I've seen, in my short ministry, wink, wink, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of lives changed because it is the power of God to salvation. It's powerful enough to convert scholars like Augustine, Martin Luther, C.S. Lewis, the one-time atheist of all atheists, Anthony Flew, Dr. Francis Collins, who headed the Human Genome Project. Powerful enough to change entertainers like Johnny Cash, Bob Dylan, Alice Cooper, Brian Head Welch, and a host of others. I've seen it change murderers. I never forget the day I got a letter from a guy whose name I recognized. It was from a prison. It was from a guy named David Berkowitz. I go, David Berkowitz, I'm familiar with that name. That's back in the 60s. There was a guy named the Son of Sam. He was a mass murderer. He was a serial killer back in New York. That was him. He's writing me saying, I listen to you every day on the radio. I've given my life to Christ. I'm in prison. I went to visit him and spent better part of the day with him in that prison in upstate New York and marveled at a man who said, I'll be here for the rest of my life. I deserve to be here, but I'm going to use my platform to share with other prisoners how to get to heaven. Only God can do that. That's the power of the gospel.
That's Skip Hightech with a special message from the series Heart and Soul. Now, here's Skip to tell you how you can help keep these messages coming your way as you help connect others to God's Word.
I just want to say thank you. Thank you for being a faithful listener to Connect with Skip. It's thanks to the grace of God and generous folks like yourself that we're able to expand the reach of this radio program far and beyond what we would be able to achieve on our own. And I want to invite you to help us reach even further so you and many more people can hear these Bible-based teachings and experience the transforming power of God's Word. Here's how to give a gift.
Call 800-922-1888 to give. That's 800-922-1888. You can also give online at connectwithskip.com/donate. That's connectwithskip.com/donate. As always, thank you for your partnership. Tune in tomorrow as Skip Heitzig shares how you can have the same passion and excitement about sharing your faith as the Apostle Paul had.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on His wood. Make a connection.
Connect with Skip Heitzig is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.